Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... the charcoal mask, great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice, I am so sorry, I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule, I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
What's going on, friends? It's your boy Thunder Chats here once again, coming to you with our presenting sponsor, BetOnline.ag. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from pro and college basketball to UFC/MMA and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. With live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable, BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code BLEAV, that is capital letters BLEAV, to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. And welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Top of Thunder podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Huntzinger at Thunder Chess. We are part of the Believe Network, and this podcast is brought to you by betonline.ag. Now that that is out of the way, I'm joined by two lovely gentlemen today. First, we got in the state of Oklahoma. I'm not going to say all the things that I usually do because he said I say it every time. So, you know what? Frick it. You don't get all this stuff now. So, welcome, Alex Roig. I hope you're happy.
Ooh, puff my ego up, man. It's 12 o'clock at night. Puff my ego up. Hey, man. This close to getting me an Isaiah Joe jersey. Like, I love that guy. He's awesome.
Yes, yes, absolutely. We love Isaiah Joe. And we also love the man that is named Stephen Dolan, who is joining us for, back-to-back weekends. Welcome in.
Yeah, Stephen Dolan. Shout out Kevin Durant for getting traded to Phoenix, getting our game pushed an hour later, causing all my friends to expect to be awake at my designated hour, even though it didn't end up working out exactly like that. That was the result. So, yeah, KD did me a favor. Doesn't quite make up for the past, but, you know, it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, and, you know, as you're speaking to that, you know, Alex was obviously up to watch the game. Cone was famously on a flight, and it looks like he's currently watching the Clippers game, so it looks like Cone had a safe flight. Awesome. I fell asleep about midway through the second quarter because this game was a little bit of a, you know, it was more interesting than we probably thought it would be after some information was given to us, but it didn't have the juice for me, and I quickly fell asleep because I was tired. But we had another game after the All-Star break before this one we played tonight against the Utah Jazz, and boys, that was a barn burner. Like that was a crazy game, the Utah game. And so let's go ahead and talk about it in the segment we like to call it Single Large Item. All right, so last night, well, actually it's 1 o'clock in the morning for me, so I guess two nights ago, we played the Utah Jazz in Utah, first game out of the All-Star break, and we lost in overtime 120-119. Dolan, I gave you single large item first last time, so I'm going to Alex. Alex, what was your single large item for this game?
It was fun to see two All-Stars battling. Like, it was fun to see, like, those two guys. You know, it's been a while since Oklahoma City has really had, you know, the ability to say, hey, you know, All-Star versus All-Star on the matchup. And this game kind of, hey, solidified that you know, we have an All-Star in our midst. And he was playing against another All-Star, and they brought it this game. And unfortunately, we were on the lighter side of the score, but it was a fun game. It was a great game, and you know, the two All-Stars performed, so it was a great game to watch.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, you know, obviously Shea dropped 39, 8-7, two steals, a block.
He unfortunately needed to drop 40.
Wasn't as efficient as he has been throughout the year. I think he struggled with efficiency a little bit here. 12 of 26, 0 of 2 from the field or from the 3-point line, 15 of 19 from the stripe. And the thing that people want to throw at him is that he missed a free throw in the clutch. He missed 4 for 3 throws in the game. But like I like to say on Twitter, Giddy missed a free throw. Dort missed a free throw. There was a lot of missed opportunities in this game. It doesn't squarely fall on Shea's shoulders for why we lost this game. Was it unfortunate he missed a free throw in the clutch? Absolutely. Was it unfortunate he missed a free throw at all? Absolutely. Was it unfortunate that his potential game-winning shot over three defenders rimmed out twice? Absolutely. But it's not on Shea that we lost this game. It was a complete team effort. And you know,
and this has been your portion of the podcast that's brought to you by Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Say it, absolutely.
We need to be sponsored by Absolute Vodka.
Yeah.
Hit us up, guys. Hit us up. Yeah,
we're available for Absolute Vodka. If
we don't have your competitor sponsoring us currently. So
we are absolutely available for Absolute. So, all right. At the risk of me saying absolutely again, Dolan, what was a single large item for you, sir?
My single large item is rebounding. Okay, nobody grab a rebound. This team is last in the league in defensive rebounding rate, which means the rate that you grab rebounds when they're available. And, you know, we look pretty good if you just look at, like, raw defensive rebounding numbers, but it's just because we play really fast and there are a lot of shots. But if you look at rebounding rate, which is actually like what percentage of rebounds we grab, we're 30th, which is, you know, to be expected in a lot of ways because we don't have a center and we're playing Kenrich Williams at center for large chunks of the game. And when it's not him, it's often our most recent second round draft pick. So it's like, I'm not saying that this is like a problem, but it's a flaw with the current team, and it's just a reason we're going to lose a lot of games if this is just the way it is. I don't even think it's something that needs to be fixed. I support the players that we're playing, but as long as we're this small and until we have Chet in the lineup, we're just going to get killed on the glass, and that's just the way it is.
We struggle with large human beings.
Yeah, I mean, especially when, like, I mean, Larry Markkanen, he's like – legit 7-footer. Walker Kessler is over 7 foot. Kelly Olynyk isn't a 7-footer, but like he's like what, 6'10", something like that. Like they had some giants out there, and they were just gobbling up every board.
particularly down the stretch. Like, I mean, there was a few possessions where they got three or four, seemed like, offensive rebounds and like key possessions down the stretch of the game, and it really hurt. It really, really hurt. Let's see here. So Gideon Dort actually tied for the lead in 11 rebounds, and like, shout out Lou Dort, man. Like, he was battling, like, specifically Lou Dort. Like, he was battling for those balls, but they were just coming up on the wrong end a couple of times. So, yeah, I can definitely see that.
They're really big, and it's our team's big flaw. You know, we have this crazy defense for how young we are. The offense has really come around. I think last time I checked, we're like the sixth in shooting percentage in the last 2 months, and from 3-point, like, everything's going pretty well. We just get killed on the glass, and that's just a function of the size of our players. Like, there's no way around it. We just don't have a big. So the cool thing about Chet is, normally you would say, oh, okay, well, they don't have a big, so they're getting killed on the glass, but they're making up for it on the offensive side. So that's just a give and a take that you have to accept if you want to play small. Well, with Chet coming in to take Kenrich Williams minutes, or Mike Muscala, or Poku, or Jalen Williams from Arkansas, we're not giving anything back on the offensive end by having Chet out there instead of those guys. We're strictly gaining on defense and then rebounding. So that's what's very exciting about him coming in.
Yep. Absolutely. If I'm real Mustang Orange Adam here, my big thing is 3-point shooting. Obviously, you mentioned that we have been shooting a lot better this last couple months, but man, you wouldn't know it looking at this game. Like, it felt like it really feels like this team, anytime we have a long break, like, you know, where you have like a 3 or 4 night break, and in this case the entire All-Star break, it feels like we come back really rusty in terms of being able to shoot the ball. It's like we should have Malik Monk out there.
Holy crap, man. This game is crazy.
To
the listeners, we're watching the Kings and Clippers shootout as we record. We were trying to wait till it's over, but we're now at the end of double overtime, and it won't end.
Oh,
Malik Monk is trying to do it by himself.
He's trying to turn back the clock, and he freaking almost did, dude. In this game we shot 8 of 37, 21%, and like, it was just clank after clank after clank. Jalen Williams from Arkansas is literally the only player that we had that had a positive percentage from 3-point line. Now, I like Kendrick Williams was 50%.
We had players at negative percentage. Oh my God.
Okay. No, you know wonder. What I, you know what I mean. Above 50%, I should say. So,
Josh Giddey went -2 for 5 from the field.
Basically.
Josh Giddey missed one so bad that he gave Utah 3 points.
Yeah, he was 0 for 5. Dort was 0 for 4. Dario was 0 for 2. JRE 0 for 3. Santa 1 for 4. Trey Mann 1 for 5. Isaiah Joe and all of his amazingness 1 for 4. Like, we were missing threes all over the place.
The only one.
I mean, what do you expect when you dump a 40% 3-point shooter?
And Nova's crying. Y'all keep talking. I'll be right back.
So Alex, do you have any secondary small items?
Man, you know what? That was my first time watching Utah this year.
Really?
And yeah, it was. They're kind of cool, man. It was so many years of, like, you know, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert and that drama with them, and then them not being able to play together, you know, for important stretches of the season and, you know, in the postseason. But this team, man, they're young, they're vibrant, they're running out there, they're big. It was a fun game because I think both teams were fun. It was not a particularly pretty game. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, the style of play just made it to be, you know, a fun game to watch. So Yeah, man, yeah. Utah might be one of my top five teams in the for the league path watch.
Yeah, there were some tough shots being made. I watched a lot of Utah at the beginning of the year whenever they went on this stretch for like a month where just every one of their games was close and had a huge comeback in it. And that was when their record was really good. And so I ended up watching the end of a lot of their games. But then recently, like, then Conley got hurt and then they just like sucked for a month and a half and I kind of stopped watching. But yeah, they're cool. Markkanen is cool and he was especially cool in our game. That awesome. Dunk when he drove baseline, that was awesome. And I saw like he's just a really hard player to guard because like I saw some people being like, what is Lu Dort supposed to do, you know, on that contest when they called the foul on him? And it's like, well, the truth is really nothing. I mean, if a guy that's 6 inches taller than you is going to run directly away from the basket and shoot a spinning fadeaway three-pointer, like you kind of probably should just let him do that is the truth. and definitely not risk fouling him. But that's the thing, though. He's so big and so mobile that, like, yeah, you have to respect it. And it's tough for anybody to really get a challenge on it. So he's a cool player. I'm glad he's figured it out, you know.
So let me ask you this. In relation to marketing and in relation to what you think Utah wants to do. Like if we were to – do you think marketing is their SGA for this rebuild? Like basically untouchable?
I think so because I think – well, I guess I'm not sure. I don't know if – I don't think he's too good to tank, you know. I mean, I know they have a great record this year. I think what they should do is they should have dropped Jordan Clarkson. They should have done their Conley and, you know, Beasley and et cetera trade earlier in the year. I mean, I get you have to wait until somebody's willing to give you – they didn't even get much. So it's like you could have done that anytime. They could have done it for that. They could have done that deal with the Lakers earlier in the season, but they were holding out trying to get both picks and they didn't get it. So I think, honestly, go it's Kings.
Shine the beam or light the beam.
Yeah, take it. Light the beam.
76 to 175. That is
crazy. Better than the All-Star game.
Score. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Anyway, so I was saying, like, I think they got off to a really hot start, and that's why their record is what it is. But for, like, the last 2 months, the Thunder have been better than them. I think if they were just the normal Jazz, especially now that they've dropped some of their depth, I think they could get a high pick next year with Markkanen. And so I don't think they need to. So, well, I guess if your question was, is he their Shea? Yeah, I guess I do think so. I don't think he would be traded. I mean, they found a diamond in the rough. They, you know, got a good deal. I mean, he was basically just in that deal. I think I'm sure they liked him as a player, but it's the only way the trade worked. He was just the salary. And then he elevated his game. So like, I think they probably feel there's that connection you feel when you feel like it's your little victory, you know, that you don't want to. Like, we all feel like that about Isaiah Joe to some extent, where we're like, oh, yeah, we were clever. We were the smart ones who spotted this guy. Or like Lu Dort, right, where fans feel that connection to him because he's our little
smart NBA guy.
Yeah, cleverness. So, yeah, I think they probably feel like that. And so, yeah, I don't think he could probably be traded for without paying a crazy price.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel the same way. You know, I agree with you. I don't think, you know, regardless of what picks we offer or anything like that, that he will be on the table. I was just thinking about it, you know, just wondering. Because there are a couple of players that are in the, I guess, in the midst of teams that are kind of directionless at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the Nets, the Jazz. And so, you know, if you want to grab one of their marquee players, you know, that it may be a chance, it may be an opportunity, but I do think the Jazz look at marketing. They're like, you know, we got house money when it came to marketing. So they're probably just going to keep him and roll with it. You know, he's the beginning piece, the beginning peg of their new rebuild. So
Yeah. And to be perfectly honest, I expected, and I think they probably expected, to lose the game to OKC. And then you'd be looking at the standings right now and seeing exactly what we're seeing, basically, which is OKC tied for the 12, you know, half a game up on the 13.
Yeah.
The playoff standings starting to stretch away a little bit, and feeling like, you know, maybe it's time to turn the other way, which I think is has been Ainge's secret desire all season long.
So then let me ask you this. So, you know, let's move on to this game. And so, you know, this game, number one, you know, we got put on national TV because they thought that Kevin Durant would come back, and unfortunately he didn't. You know, he's coming back on Wednesday, so March 1st, the game that they – I don't know who they play against, but that is the target Hornets? Date for him.
I think I saw somebody say the Hornets. Don't hold me to
it. Oh, okay, so it's an easy game. Okay, so it's target date for him. So, unfortunately, he didn't play in this game. Before the game, we got the news that – or throughout the day, we actually got news – that, you know, SGA was suffering from a sore ankle. And then, you know, also that he was suffering from a sore hip flexor. And so, you know, kind of the expected happened whenever Coach Dagnall talked with the media before the game, and, you know, he was out for the game. And so, you know, this game that we were, you know, hyped up to see, and right after the All-Star break, and so kind of deflated a little bit. So, do you think this is going to be a more common occurrence with SGA
wink, wink.
Moving forward in these next, what do we have, like 24 games left?
Sir, what are you implying?
I don't know. It's happened every season.
I think he's really hurt, you know? I mean,
he had a couple
Mark has the quote. He said the ankle was acute, meaning he rolled his ankle, is basically what that means. And then he said if that ankle was the only thing, he probably would have played through it because he's been playing through this hip thing for a while. Look, it's you can interpret these things any way you want, right? You can say, well, but so then with the ankle, like, you increase the risk of putting too much weight on the other hip, and you don't want to, like, risk that added load to the hip, because then you can really mess it up. I mean, we saw Josh Giddey miss like the back half of last year with a hip. Mm-hmm. So it's something you don't want to mess with. But at the same time, you could also say, oh, just making sure to drop these breadcrumbs that Shea's been dealing with this injury for a while, in case, you know, maybe they want to shut it down a little bit. Now we have this out. I can see the interpretation either way. My honest opinion is that he's really hurt, and he'll probably play on Sunday against the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we'll see. It's definitely, I can see why they would be aggressive in holding him out immediately as soon as possible with this stretch that we're about to undergo, or that we're in the middle of right now.
Yeah, we're playing
playing
a lot of games in a short amount of time.
Yeah, the Thunder are getting 5 games in 7 nights, which is the most games you can get in 7 nights in the NBA schedule. And then they're playing 9 games in 14 nights, which is also, like, I sat down and tried to diagram it out to find a way to get more games in 14 days without doing a 4 games in 5 nights, which the NBA has said are out. And it's the most you can do. You can't get more than 9 games in there. So it's a back-to-back, day off, game, day off, back-to-back, day off, game, day off, game, day off, back-to-back. Like, it is smushed in there. They have 5 days off, no consecutive days off, and 3 back-to-backs in these 2 weeks. And that started with the Jazz game and this Phoenix back-to-back. So I could see why, if he has anything nagging, you know, it's like, there's not a get through this game and then he has 3 days off to rest it kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, you got to rest it now because there's no breaks coming. So
yeah, all those three-day breaks that we got in like November and December.
Yeah, not for a while.
We're paying for that now. Hello, Dylan.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Dylan.
Sorry about that.
Dylan, so,
who won?
The
King won.
What?
Light the beam.
How? What happened?
The Clippers couldn't make a shot at the end. Westbrook got fouled out, and then they just broke down after that.
Okay.
I mean, so, that's the story I'm sticking to.
Okay, so we can still push the rest agenda. That's cool. Okay, well, how many Malik Monk get it? He ended up with 50?
I don't know.
Damn near.
All right.
Think the Aaron Fox got 50, but yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah, sorry about that. Nova had...
Everybody dropped 50. They scored 175 points.
Yeah. Nova had completely soaked through his clothes and his bedding, so I had to change all that while he sat there and laughed at me. So I've got 1 year off. If he wakes up again, then I'm going to have to, like, be done potting. But, like, I'll keep it open so you guys can finish. But I think he's going to go back to sleep because he usually just wakes up because he's wet and he gets mad about it. So I think he's good now.
As do I.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
God.
All right. What have y'all talked about? I'm sorry.
We put the bow on the Jazz game. And then we just kind of came to this game and just talked about the possibility of the Thunder pulling those crazy antics that they usually pull after All-Star break when it comes to SGA and how the media is going to probably interpret that. And then also, just kind of looking at the schedule a little bit.
We didn't talk about how the media is going to interpret it. It is a fact that the media is going to, maybe not the media, but your average person on Twitter is going to assume this is a fake injury. Oh, my gosh. I'm sure they've already said it.
Here go the Thunder.
They don't even, like, your average non-Thunder fan either completely disregards the idea that Shea was hurt in the last 2 years or is just totally unaware that an injury was even claimed. Mm-hmm. Like, public opinion is just that the Thunder shut him down just, like, openly. And it's like you're missing so much information.
Yeah, I mean, if you just watched the Jazz game and like how much they were roughing him up, specifically Taylen Horton Tucker, I think knocked him to the floor a couple times. I'm not surprised he came up sore from that. The ankle
that's hyphen
was...
on hyphen violence. That's not.
Yeah. When we was talking about it earlier in the day, whenever he was listed as questionable and it's just his ankle, I thought he was still gonna play. But as soon as that hip came into play also, like, that was injuries on top of injuries. Like, you don't want that for your star player, no matter what your goals are for the season. So I was very sad to see Shea wasn't going to play, and I think he's listed as day-to-day now, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Sure. They didn't say he'll be reevaluated in a week or anything. They just said he was out for this game.
So, day-to-day can mean anything, and correct me if I'm wrong, our next two games are against the Kings.
Yep, we have a double home series against the Kings, and then we have a Lakers at home and then two Jazz games at home. So a couple of those double home sets against the same team coming up, which the Thunder beat the Clippers twice in sets like that and beat the Blazers twice in sets like that because Oklahoma City nightlife is undefeated.
Love it. So
maybe what's going on is what happened to you when you were in Oklahoma City. That's what happens in the second game.
Yeah, they drink water from Jerry's fridge.
Yeah.
he should just invite them all to his house. He should be like, here's some water for you guys.
Paul George did miss the one game sick, now that I think about it. Do we know where Jerry's fridge was the night before?
Can you confirm?
I can confirm that Jerry does take his fridge to the Ford Center. I mean, to the Ford Center. What the hell?
Ford Center. Oh, my God.
It's late, man. It is late. I'm done. To the Paycom Center.
Oh, Alex fell asleep and woke up in 2008.
What the hell's going on?
The Ford Center.
I was going to make an Outlander reference, but I don't think anybody would get it, so I'm going to move on. Yeah. So, I don't even remember where I was going with this. Oh yeah, no. So, you know, we was talking in the day, kind of like in our chat, like going back and forth, how people have this just extreme reaction no matter what happens. Like if we would have beat the Jazz, then everybody would have been like, oh wow, like forget playing, like we're going for the playoffs. But since we lost that game, everybody's like, oh, it's over. Like, even before Shea's injury, I was like, it's over. Like, it's time to start tanking. Like, the tanking's going to begin. Like, we suck, this, that, and another, blah, blah, blah. And it's only going to be amplified. Like, I haven't been on Twitter because I literally woke up, saw you guys were texting me, saw that I had snoozed my alarm, like, three times in my sleep. And so I was like, crap, I got a podcast. So I haven't opened Twitter. I don't know what the reaction is or anything like that. But I can imagine it's only amplified after the loss tonight. Even though we were missing Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, but
all I have to report is so a fact about the game was is that Giddey only played 24 minutes. He did not close the game, which you know he wasn't having a good game. I'll just say that, and then
I can say
it was like a 14-point game with like 8 minutes left, and then they kind of started to close the gap a little bit. So you know how a coach will just sometimes ride the hot lineup. I think that might be what happened. Or maybe he benched Giddey because Giddey was having a bad game. I don't know. But in regards to the reaction on Twitter, I was just searching Giddey trying to find if anybody asked the question about why he didn't come back in. And the fans are not happy with Giddey, is what I found out. I did not find the answer to my question. I found anger.
They're not Giddey with Giddey, though? Is that what you're saying?
No, they're... aggravated about Giddey.
Yeah. And I mean, just kind of looking at his counting stats, like 7 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, 3 of 14 shooting, 0 of 1 from 3, 1 of 2 from the stripe. Like,
say what you will, that is a positive percentage.
I think he's starting to get in his head a little bit. I think he's going back to beginning of the season Giddey. You know, when he was struggling and we were all talking about his sophomore slump and how this is going to look. I just think he's regressing a little bit. I just think he has to find that mojo again.
Yeah, and the thing about Giddey is, like, he doesn't have – like, it's awesome if he can knock down his threes, but, like, he can be effective and change a game without knocking down his threes. Like, if you remember – at the end of his hot streak, you know, going into January, I mentioned on this podcast, like, guys, like, I don't want to, you know, like, you know, throw water on a fire, you know, but I don't know. I'm out
that.
Of idioms.
Please do that.
I'm out of idioms here, but
no, Dylan, if you ever see a fire,
throw water on it.
But not, water on it, but not Giddey's fire. We don't need Giddey's fire to have water on it. But anyways, like I don't want to be that guy, but you know, I know we're winning. I know Josh Giddey's playing really good, but the last 5 games or so, he's back to shooting like 28%. Like he's still doing great, but like, you know, this is happening and it hasn't gotten better since. And not only has it not gotten better since, but it doesn't feel like Giddey is actually affecting games. In a positive way, and that's the thing that hurts us really, because if he's not shooting the ball and he's not defending, he's kind of just somebody the defenses pick on. Like if you watch the Jazz game, I'd venture to say 90% of the doubles that were sent at Shea were Giddey's man, because they're not scared of him shooting the ball. And that's detrimental, like particularly in the clutch whenever, you know, we expect Shea to go show that he's him. And dude, even if you throw 3 guys at him, like he's still close to making the shot, but you know, that doesn't make it easy on him.
Well, so many of our conversations around this team just come back to expectations. You know, the team's ahead of schedule and they're so close to the play-in and we can smell it as fans. And all of a sudden it's the focus shifts to win now moves and what lineups are helping us now and what players are detrimental on a closing possession and shifts away from development. Giddey's important to our future, and he's going to be playing. And it's important if he is detrimental to a possession that he experiences that and learns from it. You know,
mm-hmm.
like that's where the organization's focus is, and it's important to just keep that in the back or the front of your mind while you're watching the games and know that. Look, if the focus was to win the game, maybe Kenrich Williams closes that game instead of Giddey. But that's not what happened because that's not the number one priority right now. And a lot of fans want it to be, and I get that. But I think it clearly isn't.
Yeah, and I think that's, like you said, expectation sets the barometer for fans for how they feel. And, you mm-hmm. know, I honestly don't think that we went into this season with that expectation, but as the season has progressed, you know, and we've been so, you know, as the season has progressed and the rest of the Western Conference has not necessarily
that was a bar, son.
The rest of the West has turned into a mess.
Yeah. But like, since the rest of the West has not necessarily performed up to
has regressed. You know,
yes. Whoop, chicken. Yeah. Yeah. Since they have not performed to what the standard or what the expectation is for them, you know, now our fans are like, yo, we can do this, or yo, we are at their same level. And unfortunately, we're not at the same level. We're a good team. We're a very well-coached team. And well-coached teams are going to catch other teams off guard. Sometimes many nights out of an 82 game season, but now, whenever it's crunch time in the in the season, and all these teams are trying to perform their best to get into the playoffs, I do think that the Thunder are going to see a different brand of basketball being played against them, and they're going to have to learn from this. And unfortunately, they're going to lose a lot of these games.
Yeah. Well, I think we could do more, you know, if winning was the priority, we could have maybe two or three more wins and be solidly in the play-in right now. But it would come at the expense of growth for next year. And there comes a time where that's an acceptable, even necessary decision to make, like with the KD and Russ teams, right? It's like, look, we need every single win. We have a chance to win a championship. I'm sorry, Jeremy Lamb. We cannot afford 15 minutes a game for you to find yourself as an NBA player. But that's not what this team is doing. We're still seeing Trey Mann out there. We're still seeing, like I said, Giddey closing games. He didn't close this one, so maybe we're not anymore. But we saw Giddey close that game, even though he was really struggling. And like you said, they were doubling off of him every time. And the reason is, yeah, maybe we are the 12 seed this year instead of the 9 seed because we forfeit these handful of wins. But we don't want to be the 9 seed again next year. We want this 12 seed to then explode through that and become the 5 seed next year. And it will be because Giddey had these experiences and had these failures and learned from them. Or he won't. And then we know that too, which is also valuable information. You know, if this is just like a flaw in his game that he's not going to be able to overcome, we need to know that too and give him the opportunity to prove that to us because that's valuable information.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sorry. I was just looking through the scores of this season, and 7 of our losses were by one possession. And you know that tells me that, you know, we're in these games, like we're fighting in these games. It doesn't matter what the opponent is. It's just, you know, sometimes the ball doesn't bounce the right way. Sometimes we get a bad call. Sometimes we make a stupid mistake. And you know, it's just frustrating how
sometimes we're not as experienced.
Well, and look, with a few exceptions throughout history, one of those exceptions being like most Chris Paul teams,
mm-hmm.
close games are generally like pretty close to a coin flip.
Yeah,
like we make a big deal out of clutch players. Yeah, there are clutch players who also have the ball a lot. And so the volume helps add to that impression. But most of the time, 1-point games are coin tosses, and they can go either way. And it comes down to something as tiny as like the ball bounces into one player's hands instead of another that nobody has control over. So yeah, I saw some takes like that this loss proves that we're not ready because good teams win these games. Like, no, good teams lose these games. I don't know, 45% of the time or something. Like it's fine. I don't think this one loss to the Jazz, or I mean definitely not this loss to the Suns without Shea, should be convincing to anybody who was like, we should push for the playoffs 2 days ago. I don't think anybody who was thinking that should now be like, never mind, because of these two losses. Maybe because of where we are in the standing as a result of them, I guess. Maybe like it matters that it was the Jazz that we lost to because now we're a full game back of them. But I just don't think that those two results or anything that happened in those games should be like the nail in the coffin for anybody. Now, on the other hand, if you already thought pushing for the draft pick was the right decision, like, I don't think this should really bolster that opinion in any way. It's just, it is what it is. I said it is what it is. I'm sorry, everyone.
Here's the thing with the Utah series. That was the first game. Like, we literally have three games in the next, like, in the next, what is it, like,
we have two more games in that 14-day stretch.
Exactly. And so if we win those two games, this is a completely different dynamic that we're talking about in a week, you know. Again, this season it's going to ebb and it's going to flow, and you know, if we happen to hit a hot streak when we're playing at the Paycom Center, not the Ford Center, at the Paycom,
you mean the Chesapeake Energy Arena?
Yeah. The Chesapeake Energy Paycom. Then, you know, again, the Thunder, you know, the Thunder fandom is going to go ahead and flip again and be like, yo, you know, we need to do the play on, you know, go to the play in or whatever. And so, yeah, man, you know, that's the ebb and flow of this season.
I don't know about you guys, but just at some point this season, I stopped getting too high or too low about, or like, for a while, I was like looking forward and trying to predict how the season could go based on results. And it just became like a fool's errand. Like, earlier this week, I tweeted, oh, I see we have three games against the Jazz coming up. Like, me from 2 months ago would have been, that stretch will decide our season. And me now is like, oh, we're going to win 1.5 of those three games because this team will not let me make any decisions. So I'm just along for the ride.
I think winning half of a basketball game.
Yeah. We're going to end up in a good spot. Like, I feel like we're either going to get the 8th or 9th draft pick, or we're gonna get, you know, the 8th or 9th seed in the play-in. So either of those is great. The one thing I didn't want to do was like get 35 wins and get the 10 seed. Well, I think if we're gonna get the 10 seed or the 9 seed, it's gonna be like 41 wins. And if we don't win that many games, then we're gonna get a good draft pick, and either one of those is cool.
Yeah, because we're gonna have to earn it. Like, if we get to the play-in, we'll earn it. Because right now, you know, you mentioned we're a full game back from the Jazz at the 10 spot. We're tied with the Blazers, and the Lakers are a half game back behind us. So it's tight. And then, you know, you still got the Warriors and the Timberwolves are tied 1.5 game, and the Pelicans are tied 1.5 game. And like, you know, that takes you to the 7 seed. So like, it's,
yeah, and Steph's probably coming back soon. The Blazers have Dame, so just with him, they're better than their current record because, you know, he missed some time and they were really bad when he was out. The Lakers, I think, got a little bit better, and their guys might actually feel like they need to play all the games now, that they need to win most of their games to get in. So, like, I think it's going to pick up around us a little bit, and that's not to say that we won't be able to keep up, but we're not going to just stumble into the play-in here. You know, we're not going to kind of fail our way in the rest of the season. If we make it in, it's because we earned it.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And, you know, the Pelicans without Zion, you know, they've kind of been a shell of themselves since he's been out. So maybe they're a team that keeps falling out a little bit. You know, you get a BI injury or something like that. Like, that could really hurt you. At the same time, if Shea's
right. We've been healthy. We've lost our bigs. We've lost our bigs, but Shea's been healthy all year. You know, leave a game here and there, but So,
yep, absolutely, man. Well, I guess the only thing kind of left to cover here is some draft stuff here. Obviously, there were some things that happened with Brandon Miller. It's very late on my end. I've already said a few things wrong, so I don't want to be the one that says what happened. Dolan or Alex, do you guys have a read on the situation, as it were?
Oh, man. I've kind of kept my nose out of it until it all gets settled. Like, I don't want to, you know, put anything out there that's not true. Mm-hmm. All that I know for sure is one of his teammates asked him to bring their gun to them in like the early hours of the morning. And then that gun, and then they gave that gun to someone else. And then that person shot someone with it. Those are the facts as far as I know them. And what Brandon Miller knew the gun would be used for, it doesn't seem like he was directly participatory in like pulling the trigger in any way, mm-hmm. or if he was even there, or if he had knowledge of it. All we know for sure is that he brought someone a gun in the early morning. And so, yeah, I don't think there's anything, as far as we know right now, legally wrong with anything that he did. I don't even think we know for sure that there's anything morally wrong with what he did. I feel pretty confident saying he did a stupid thing,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, is bad enough for some organizations not to want to draft a player. Like, to me, and maybe this is me like being a parent now, but like, I'm just, or, you know, I was a teenager once and I had my fair share of screw ups. What would his mama say? Mm-hmm. You know, like when this happened, if he came home and he told her exactly what happened, and it's what I just laid out, that he just took a friend his gun and didn't know anything about what would happen and wasn't involved, his mama would probably slap him upside the head and say, you understand you're about to get drafted in the top, whatever, 3 to 5 of the NBA draft. Why are you risking your entire future to take this boy his gun in the middle of the night? Like, mm-hmm. Do you understand how stupid that is? And like, whether he did anything wrong, I don't know, but that might be enough to make the Thunder like scratch him off their board, because that just shows a stupendous lack of judgment, in my opinion, to put your entire future at risk for, even if it's as innocent as possible, like, bring me my gun. Oh, yeah, cool. Here's your gun. It's a gun, man. It's 1 a.m. Like, go to bed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my thing. Like, you know, like, take away the basketball stuff aside. Like, if you're giving somebody a gun, specifically like in the middle of the night for like any it doesn't matter what the reason, like you're bringing somebody a gun in the middle of the night, like that's sketch, like that's super sus.
The whole thing just makes me think of that the gif from Mad Men of Peter, and I think he's like in an elevator or something, and somebody asks him a question like, is it bad? And he's like, it's not good, Bob. like, did Miller do something bad? I don't know, but it's not good.
yeah, and I could definitely see, like, I think the early reports are, I don't know who NBA Central aggregated, but I saw NBA Central, like, tweeted some like scout and GM quotes, anonymous GM quotes, basically saying like this didn't affect how they viewed Miller in the draft and whatnot. But
cool, good. If, I mean, good for them, good for him. But like,
yeah, I think it affects Sam Presti.
just it didn't help
his history. Yeah,
if it didn't affect anything, cool. But it didn't help. We'll just say that.
Which sucks, man, because like that's the guy. Like, I feel like that was the perfect fit in this draft for the Thunder. And now we probably won't know. But there is a lot of other guys in this draft. Like, it's a very intriguing draft. Aside from, you know, Wemby Scoot, Brandon Miller, there's some other guys in this draft that could really help the Thunder. And I was getting kind of worried because, you know, a lot of these guys that I thought could fall to a slight lottery that I like their potential, people are starting to catch on to, and it looks like they're going in like the top 7-8 range now. So that's a little discouraging, but it also looks like we might end up having a chance at these guys. So I'm starting to open myself to the possibility of getting Jairus Walker. I started opening up myself to the possibility of getting Grady Dick, Taylor Hendricks, you know, guys like that.
Yeah, I was listening to Game Theory a little while back, and Vicini had Spinella, I think is his name. And
yeah,
they were just talking about how, yeah, and they were just talking about how, like, after the first, like, 3, maybe 4, maybe 5, it's just kind of a jumble, and they could see anybody from, like, 5 to 12 mm-hmm. ending up being the best player, and it's just going to kind of come down to taste and eye of the beholder and stuff like that. And the main reason they said, and it's not just because they're like, oh, we evaluate these people so evenly, it was because they have very little information on all these guys because they're so young and because COVID was happening when they were in high school and they're dealing on like half a season of college ball right now. And so obviously you want to have the highest pick possible, so Presti has the most people to choose from, but it just kind of made me feel really relaxed that, like, oh, we might be able to get an awesome guy at like 9. Mm-hmm. And if the consensus is so diasporic, is that a word?
Dropping bars out here.
I'm not sure if that's a word, so don't hold me to that bar.
I'm gonna Google it while you talk.
If the consensus is diffuse, kind of, if everybody disagrees about who the best prospects are in that range, then it makes a trade up more likely because the person who's at 4 might like the guy who they think will be there at 8 just as good. So that makes them more likely to want to trade their pick. So that's encouraging. And I just feel real relaxed about the whole situation. Like, we're going to end up in a good spot. And, mm-hmm. Giddy's struggling right now, and that's cool because he's young and it's to be expected. That's part of the reason nobody thought we'd be very good this year, is because this happens to young players. So it's happening to him right now, and that's not unexpected. So
yeah,
I'm chilling.
Yeah, the definition of diasporic, according to dictionary.com, relating to, characterized by, or arising from the social phenomenon of dispersion, constant mobility, and rootlessness.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be honest, I've never heard that word in my life. So when you said it,
that's,
I was
pretty
like,
close, right? Like, I mean, that means kind of what I was going for. So yeah. Let's go with that. Bars affirmed.
See, I tried to make sleepcosis a word before we started, but that's actually a word. So congrats on that.
Thank you.
The Thompson twins, like, I'm not as into Amen Thompson for this team just because the shot's a legitimate issue. And I know we haven't in the past, but I feel like the data's there. Like, if you want to succeed with this team, you want to surround Shea and Giddy, you know, whoever has the ball, with shooting. You know, I think the on-off number, Isaiah Joe and Lindy Waters are like top net rating guys on the team. And it's because of what they can provide for the team. So I think shooting is going to be prioritizing the draft. Like, I think it has to be, regardless of Amen's potential and what he can do with the ball in his hands and everything like that. Like, that's all well and good. I would rather take your brother who's maybe like a half step below you athletically, but has shown more potential shooting, more results shooting the ball as well. And is also regarded as a better defender. So I like Ozor Thompson. Like, if we were to end up with him at the draft, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah, that would be cool. I'm chilling, man. There's a lot of good players, and our range has such a big range. You know, we could end up from, you know, the very top of the lottery if we get lucky to Gap, maybe 7 or 8 all the way up to like 14. So it's just too many guys. Like I can't look at 20 guys. So I'm just going to hold off on deep diving anybody until I like have 5 or 6 spots where I think we can end up. But there's a lot of guys I'm intrigued by. And I trust Preston to get one of them. So. Hmm?
Do you know anything about Jet Howard?
I know he goes to Michigan.
He does. I believe he's also Juwan Howard's son.
That makes sense why he went to Michigan.
But I don't know. I think it was Andrew. I think I heard he said that he didn't want Jet Howard. And I'm like, I don't know why. Like he's a phenomenal, like he's a great shooter. He's got a lot of scoring potential and he has potential to do a lot of other things with the ball. Like, you know, I'd rather have Grady Dick, but if I got Jet Howard, I wouldn't be mad. Also, there's a conspiracy theorist in me. I said this on a previous podcast, but like it's starting to reinvigorate as his level of play is starting to raise, you know, throughout the season. But Kaysom Wallace out of Kentucky, and it's not just because he's a Kentucky Wildcat. Like, mm-hmm. I don't care if he was wearing Duke or Louisville, whatever. Like, this guy is a 6'6" point guard. He's playing point guard for Kentucky. He could play on both sides of the ball, but he's long as crap. Like, he's got a crazy wingspan. He's strong, and the dude is a absolute dog. And not only that, but I don't know what he's shooting from three right now, but there was at one point this year he was shooting 40% from three. I'm going to see what he's at right now. But, you know, my thing was if you could get – into the lottery and get 2 picks. If this was a guy that you wanted to draft, he's shooting 35% now. So he came it down to earth a little bit because we went on a very, very bad stretch in the middle of the season. But you know, if you could get a guy like that and you could, in my eyes, if he's actualized, like, you know, he's going to come in day one and play defense. If he can legitimately be a good shooter, like, I don't know, like he's a longer, younger, better shooting Dort on a rookie contract. I feel like it might make Dort expendable in a deal for a more win now player. Yeah, just a conspiracy theory I've been throwing around.
It's an interesting theory. I'm gonna be honest, I have very little to contribute about draft prospects. Okay. I'm just sitting here trying not to make Grady Dick jokes this whole time.
It's hard not to. That was a bad one. So I guess when we start making dick jokes, that's when it's time to close out the pod. But hopefully brighter days are ahead for the Thunder. You know, as we said, we've got the Kings on Sunday and Tuesday, both in OKC. Hopefully Shea plays. If not, if Shea doesn't play in either of these next two games, I feel pretty confident saying the writing's on the wall for how the rest of the season is going to go.
Yeah, the writing on the wall just made me think of Alex calling it the Ford Center. I used to go watch games at the Ford Center when they had like the All College Classic when I was in junior high.
Alex just out there tagging the Ford Center. That'd be amazing. Okay. Yeah. We've gone through it. It's 2 a.m. here. I'm going to bed. Dolan, I appreciate you coming on the pod. It was great to see your face for another weekend in the row. Hopefully we have some more guys on here the next time you're on so we can have some more fun discussion and hopefully maybe the Thunder are winning games again next time. Yeah. So that'd be fun.
But happy to be here.
You haven't said that in a while. So I started to question if you actually were. I appreciate you.
Less happy than I was last time after that Blazers game. That was something special.
Oh my God. That was the last time. Wow.
I listened back to that and we spent like a third of that podcast just like describing plays that happen. Those are the good times, you know, mm-hmm. after a game where you're just like, and then this play happened and he jumped like this and he reached over there, and this game we're just like, these two games were just like, yeah, the score and the stats.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, there were some cool things that happened. Like, you know, I'm about to go right back into it.
Don't do it.
Well, I do have to mention that one play by Shea on freaking Ochai Agbaji. Whenever he, like, he picked up his pivot, he faked, he, like, put his elbow on him, acted like he's going to step through, and then he drew back and then shot it on the bank shot, like, put dude in a blender. Like, that was nasty. Did he walk on that play, Dolan? You're a basketball purist.
No, I don't think so. It was like he made him hit himself. It's like a judo move. You know? Like,
yeah. he went full on wax on, wax off.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. That's it. I'm done talking about it. Also, I just want to say before we leave, I wanted Lauri Markkanen on the Thunder 2 years ago. They called me a madman. With that being said, I hope everybody has a great night. God bless. Hoop when you can. And as always,
Thunder up. Thunder up.
Thank you for listening to the Topic Thunder podcast. Our podcast is available to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review, and follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder. Thunder up! We could also talk about Russell Westbrook when he hits the game winner here. Oh my God, this game's crazy. I wish I could pull this up while we're bonding.
I'm a distracted podcaster.
Is it on ESPN?
No.
League Pass.
Yeah.
Charge. Ooh, yes, sir. Sir. That's a charge, sir.
Can I?
I doubt they have their challenge. We're in overtime. You never have your challenge left, or else you maybe wasted it earlier.
I can try to.
I don't know, man.
Pull
up. It's Tony Brothers' ass again.
Oh my God!
Oh, Brothers.
Damn, 162-162.
Yeah, dude.
They're making shots all over the place. I'm trying to pull it up on StreamBeast here, and I could share the screen.
It was like 80-72 or something at halftime. So, and then they just never cooled down.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
I know the 80. I don't know what the Kings had. I think it was 70 something.
Let me watch it on Stream East real quick.
Man, Stream East is doing that thing where it gives you a bunch of different links to click on. I hate it when it does that.
The second one's my favorite. Ah, Fox. Just dribbled it off his foot.
Well, by the time I find a stream, the game's gonna be over.
I mean, I see it right here.
All right. Well, you're awesome. Oh, there we go. This is my favorite one. Top streams like this works.
Can I share my screen?
You might be able to. What? I'm not.
It's not letting me play it. Damn it.
I'm stupid. I clicked on the Phoenix Oklahoma City game.
Can you see my screen? Look down at the bottom.
Oh, here we go. Oh, now yes. I can.
Let's go.
Let's fucking go. It might not let you play it since you're
on. Yeah, it's just black. Frick.
It's just black. Yeah. Bullshit, sneaky bastards. Sussed me out.
Yeah, I think I tried doing that one time when we were recording, and y'all were like, it's just black. I was like, oh, well.
Too clever.
They are smart.
The NBA, the League Pass stuff, it's impossible to do anything on it. I used to have this little GIF capture thing where you could like just make a square and hit record and it would make a GIF, and you can't, it just turns out black. Like you can't even like take a screenshot of your phone screen while it's, you can't record your screen. You can't take a screenshot. Nothing.
Yeah. You can't record it. Yeah.
All right. There's 20 seconds left and it's a 1-point game.
Oh, it's not 164-162.
No, he shoot. Monk made the first free throw.
Yeah, there we go.
Are you watching or watching the thing.
I'm on NBA.com.
Okay.
I think it's sharing. Can you guys see?
I can. We can see the TV. We both have it.
Okay. Well,
I just don't need you.
We're sharing. 164 to 164, 20 seconds. Is that what everybody has?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
cool. Yeah, I mean, the off chance Russell
Westbrook. So I guess it's either the Clippers are going to win or it's double overtime.
This is great podcasting, by the way, because we're recording.
So we can probably start recording it, start the show, I guess.
Okay.
Because we're not going to have a happy reaction right now.
I don't know. If something cool happens, I'll be happy. I'll be like, I woke up for this. What? Oh, okay. Sorry. I have Scoop B's notification and he just randomly tweeted Westbrook for three with an exclamation point. I was like, huh?
I mean, he possibly went for it.
It's possible that Westbrook shoots a three right here.
No, why do you have Scoop B on notifications?
I have him, Wode, Shams. Some of the draft guys, like I probably had too many notifications on, honestly. But
I got Wode, Shams, and Mark Stein,
and Scoop B.
Scoop B, watch out now. Friend of the pod. Scoop
B. That's why I have him there.
Good people.
No, I can't lie. I just want to see what happens here.
Why am I watching Dylan's stupid little screen?
That's all I got. Oh,
Scoop had the scoop. Here comes Russ. Nope. Double overtime.
Are you serious? Now you're spoiling my spoil.
Nope. Nope.
It's going to be 300 to 300.
All right, well, that's fun.
Let's just do the podcast while watching the game.
It's fine. I can't see y'all. I'm watching this. Actually, I don't know. It might be in my – is it in my stream? Oh, yeah, it is. Okay, cool. I can see it very tiny. I can full screen it, though.
No, man, do it like this for the YouTubes.
My computer doesn't like it. Well, Colin has not been doing the YouTube, so
Colin is busy.
Yeah. All right, that'll work. We've been recording for 6 minutes, so welcome in. No, I'm just kidding. Let me
and welcome in.
Let me compose myself. Yep, sorry.
Can you go take your mic and go pee? Not in that order.
Guys, I can't hear myself. What's happening here? All right. I feel like I'm in a fever dream right now. Here we go.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Swing into Seaside Golf in Ocean City, Maryland. Play like a pro at 17 championship courses designed by golf legends like Jack Nicklaus and Arthur Hills. Tee off on sweeping vistas at Eagle's Landing. Savor the coastal views of Lighthouse Sound. Or see why Ocean City Golf Club is considered one of the Mid-Atlantic's finest fairways. Whether you're sneaking in a quick round on a family vacation or going all in on a golf getaway, fun is always in play at Ocean City, Maryland. Plan your trip at OCOcean.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save